can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Mark Salem, and for the next couple of hours, you're stuck with me. And if you'd like to join us, you can, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And let me tell you real quick what the rules are. The rules are is you can call us, 602-508-0960, tell us what kind of car you have, and then give us the symptoms, and we're going to talk about that. What we don't want to do is start the conversation off with you telling us about how many parts you replaced, because the only conclusion we can draw is that none of those parts fix the car. Sitting with me is Kurt from Kurt's Auto Repair. And is this Eric or Jeff?
That's Eric. Yeah. They look alike.
Yeah. You know, I tease him, and Renee goes, "Do you really not know the difference?" And I said, "There's times that my hard drive just doesn't have that on there." So I'm looking at Jeff and calling him Eric, and looking at Eric and calling Jeff. Nevertheless, so there's three brains here. You're a master tech.
Yes, sir.
Kurt, you're a master tech.
Yes, sir.
And neither one of you's retired yet, are you?
No.
Did you? I already took the emeritus, because you don't have to take the test anymore.
I can't do that with Jeff and Eric around. I got to take it just to prove it.
Oh, no. Emeritus status means retired. That no one can take away your certification.
I know, but they don't believe you know anything if you retire.
Well, then I would assign them some oil changes until they rearrange their head.
Yeah, I need to change their thinking, don't I?
That's real simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put them on an hourly. I think minimum wage would be appropriate. Oh, stuff
that
like
high.
That. What do you think? Huh? I can't hear you. Huh?
Yeah, you may be doing a show by yourself.
Yeah. I did call these two guys in because I needed some help. Well, I don't really need help. I had to be here anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll just stay for the show and then head north after the show. Then I thought, why fly by myself?
Yeah.
So I thought I'll call you guys and see if you want to be my wingman, and then we can take care of that. All right, we got Larry on the line, but before we do that, let's talk about automatic transmission exchange. Automatic transmission exchange has been in Phoenix since 1968. Phil and his staff, they've been around the block. You're going to find lots of gray hair there. They don't care if you've got a first-time Buick automatic transmission or if you've got some kind of a funky one that came with a car that none of us have heard about. They know how to diagnose it. They know how to fix it. The only problem is on some of the older cars is finding parts. But no matter what, from the old ones to the electronic new ones that shift all by themselves based on your throttle and all other kinds of information, Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, if you're in Phoenix, they're a good place to go. All righty, let's go to Larry. Larry, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. I talked to you last week. I have a 98 Subaru Outback, and I noticed vibration after I took it in to have the tires rotated.
Okay.
Immediately. And I took it back, and they rechecked it. They couldn't find anything. They looked for bent wheels, flat spots, et cetera. I took it to my mechanic, and he said I needed a new transfer case. You suggested last week I take it to one of your recommended mechanics, which I did. Driving over there, it didn't vibrate, and it was going left to right, the vibration.
Okay.
The steering wheel would shake. And the mechanic that you recommended, it wasn't vibrating for him either. You know, they drove it on surface streets, they took it on the freeway, et cetera. They did put it up on the hoist, and they said they noticed some play in the transaxle, and that possibly the bearings, you know, they were bad in that. I left it with them because they wanted to drive it even more since they couldn't reduplicate. So I guess I'm lost. He said they could rebuild the trans. They wouldn't do the work, but they would send it out, rebuild the transaxle, and if you're at it, rebuild the transmission too.
Okay, Eric, what do you think?
He was describing a tire separation with a shimmy on the steering wheel left or right.
Or any kind of play in the steering. Any kind of play in the steering.
The fact that it went away just means it straightened out or whatever, but I doubt you're going to find it in the transaxle. It just doesn't sound right.
Kurt?
I don't think it's going to. It sounds like tire-related issue, and we've had some issues on my truck where me and Eric running up and down the freeway, and he'd say, see, when we go around a corner and your tires turn at a different rate, now we get a harmonic, and then when we go around another corner, the harmonic disappears. Yeah. So that's the only thing I could think of. I think some of them transfer cases have a viscous coupler or some kind in them, but if it ain't that, but the steering wheel shaking side to side,
how's a transfer case going to do that?
That don't ring true on a shaking steering wheel to me.
No, there's nothing about a shaking steering wheel. I don't care if it's going left to center or right to center, or if it's going left to right.
A binding axle shaft.
Okay.
Could affect the steering a little bit.
Wouldn't go away.
No, it wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
So the going away, I'm still going with tires.
Well, Larry, you can do whatever you want to do, but I think the consensus here is you just wait till it gets worse and easier to find. So none of us, of course, admittedly, none of us have seen the car.
No.
And so we haven't seen it. But obviously, the vibration's gone, so they're in the same boat we are. If they can't experience the vibration, then neither can we.
Yeah.
But, Larry, we just think that you ought to pull back the reins and go get drunk or something like that. But anyway, you know, spend a couple of bucks and just drink your sorrows away. And I'm just kidding, folks. I'm just kidding. But no, don't do anything.
Yep.
I don't think it's a good diagnosis.
No.
I don't think that the symptoms match the diagnosis. And I think maybe that the first guy that diagnoses the transfer case kind of tainted the whole thing. Now, Larry, you should not have told the second shop that it had been diagnosed by anybody. You always let everybody stand on their own, because most of us aren't going to fix your car based on what the last station or the station before that or the station before that did it. So everybody needs to diagnose it themselves, because then Larry's going to say, is this a guess or a fix?
Yep.
And so if you say it's guess, then Larry says, well, whose money are we guessing with? <Yeah. laughs>
and I did ask him that question, because you told me that last week. And he said, well, I can't guarantee that this is going to fix it, because I can't duplicate what it was doing for you.
And I would have said the same thing.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not going to fix it based on, I'm flat not going to fix it based on anybody else. But the fact that you said it's gone, we're done. That's it.
Yeah.
And it could have been, somebody could have drove that through a big piece of tar and had this tar hang onto the tire and throw the tire out of balance. But I think you're right. I think we got a tread separation where we got the air out between the plies and the tread.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we got.
So I've taken it back four times to where I bought the tire. It's a relatively new, 17,000 miles on them, and they're excellent tire, Michelin Defenders. They did tire inspection. They did what they call computer ride matching to see if there was
Have you ever heard of computer ride matching?
Unless that's their fancy word for road force balancing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with Larry. We can beat this dog until it howls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is you can take it back to that tire place 14 more times. No one knows whose fault it is until it raises its ugly head and somebody fixes it.
You know what else he could do, Mark?
No.
He could go back and rotate the tires front to back, drive it for a week, and if the shaking don't ever come back, or if he feels it in his seat, then he knows it's tires.
And you're right, but what we're doing is we're setting him up to go fight with the tire store.
Yeah.
and that's going to be an ugly situation, so we don't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't say, well, this is it. I say that it's the same thing I just said. No one knows whose fault it is until we fix it.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll do it.
But
it isn't their fault until we know what it is.
Yeah, we just need to wait for it to get worse and somebody can find it.
All right, well, good luck to you, Larry. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we got another caller. Who would that be?
That would be Steve.
Steve, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. And I want to say I've had very good luck at Kurt's, so thank you.
Oh, gosh. Who are you related to down there?
No, I need the address where I need to send that check to, Steve.
That's right.
I'm just teasing you.
Your wife gave me a Kurt's T-shirt. I wear it all the time. thank you.
You know, what I would do is I would wear it when I drive, and then if I make another driver mad, I just pull that T-shirt out and hold it there.
Yeah, Mark would do that.
Yeah, and I'll say, you don't know where I work, and I'd stand there in front of him. But anyway, go ahead, Steve. Thank you for the compliment on behalf of Kurtz.
Sure. I have a 2007 Lexus RX 350, and when it first starts up and I drive slowly and turn, there's kind of a grinding sound, but then it goes away after a few minutes, and I can't repeat it after I've been driving for a little bit.
All right, young buck. All right, young buck. Go ahead.
Well, those, if my memory serves me right, have a divorced reservoir, and if we get some air in the suction tube between the reservoir and the pump, it cavitates it for the first few minutes, and then it clears the air out, and that would make the most sense to me.
Okay, now, if that's the case, let me guess now, because I'm not aware of what you said. If he started it up and he didn't move it, and he brought the idle up and went lock to lock, all the way to the left, lock, all the way to the right, lock, would that make that turn noise go away?
It should. Then he should be able to drive away in it. It wouldn't be there.
All right. Kurt, you got anything?
No, I'm with him.
Okay. And I'm with him, too. But here's what I think. I think what he should do is drag his brakes during that first right turn. Because if we've got rust on the rotors, or if we got any contamination, or if we got chatter from the pads, if he lightly drags his brakes through that first right turn and not sit there and rev it up and warm up the power steering, but drag his brakes, I think he'll figure out real quick whether it's power steering and if it's brakes. Now, if it's brakes and that's the only time it makes the noise, then I say keep driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because we're going through the change of seasons.
Yeah, it's cold now.
And if it's a power steering problem, you would say,
come and see me.
But if it's only happening once, what's the chances of him breaking down and needing a tow truck for that particular problem?
It's not going to happen.
Okay, and see, that's my line in the sand. Yeah. And besides that, you can say that. You can say, listen, I know Larry's got this vibration, but, you know, I don't know the last time a vibration, unless the tire blew up.
Yeah.
You know, it's so that, you know, you can drive it and have your wife drive it. Maybe not your ex-wife, but your wife or your girlfriend. And you just keep driving it because it's not likely to need a tow truck.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the line. But anyway, Steve, thank you very much for your comments. And Eric's willing to diagnose that for you for free. And he'll flush your power steering for free. And he'll check all your brakes for free. And so just remember that. Okay?
Well, we'll have to give him Eric's address because he's not doing it at the shop.
All right, thank you. Thank you guys.
All righty, Steve. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we'll be back right after this. The 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting here with me is Kurt Rock from Kurt's Auto, I-17 in Bell. And the address is kind of cool. I noticed that the other day.
That's one I can remember, Mark. Okay. 2222.
Okay. Yeah. West Bell.
Yeah.
222 West Bell. Yeah. Four twos. Okay. And sitting next to me is Eric. We don't know where it came from. We don't know who his parents are.
Something about a turnip plant or something.
A turnip plant or something like that. But he is a good technician. I want to tell you, I'm envious of his skills. So let's do this. Ladies first, and then I got to do a spot. Ann, you're up first. How can we help you?
Hi. So I drive a 2001 Toyota 4Runner, and it's hard for me to explain except for that it just doesn't feel right. So it feels like it's kind of pulling in the back of the car. Like it's just working a little bit extra harder. Like when I accelerate it, dragon, but it doesn't feel like the accelerator.
Okay, so hold on. You're fading in and out on us. If you're on like Bluetooth, could you get off that, please?
I don't think I am.
Okay, or just speak up because we're just kind of losing you. But we know you got a 4Runner.
Yeah, and it's
2000.
That's perfect. Yes, go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it's the 2001 4Runner.
Okay.
And I original owner. So I've got 246,000 miles on it.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that I need to get it. It feels like something's going on in the rear. I mean, it's still running, but it just feels like it's it's working extra hard. Okay. And it kind of feels like it might be in the rear, but I just wanted, I wanted to take it somewhere to get it checked out, and I just didn't have any idea where
to take it, which would be reliable. And we're in the 40, or Tatum and Union Hills area.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I would do is get on a residential street on Sunday morning and go along at 25 miles an hour, take your foot off the gas and throw it in neutral, and let's make sure it coasts quite a while. Yeah. That would kind of eliminate brakes hanging up,
yeah,
differentials, any kind of a resistance based on the car.
Yeah.
If you want somebody to drive it up where you're at, Tatum and what?
Union Hills.
Okay. I would go to 40th and Greenway. And there's a, on the northwest corner there, behind the Circle K, there's a shop called Blackwell's. And I'm pretty sure he would drive it with you. Avoid Monday mornings and Friday afternoons. But just take him for a ride now. You need to demonstrate what you're talking about. Then you're going to switch places. So he'll want to drive, but he wants to watch you first. And, and that's it. Your Toyota, as long as you don't overheat it or run it low on oil, should go a lot more miles.
Yeah.
So you should be okay.
Okay.
All righty?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
You betcha. David, you're up next. How can we help you?
Hi. Hey, I've got a noise. Sorry.
That's okay.
Got a friend that we're trying to help out. They just have a lot of problems, health problems and things like that. But they have a Nissan Versa with the constant velocity transmission or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Transmission problem. The dealer said it'd be $4,000 to replace it, and they have not quite that many resources. So I'm looking for advice.
There is. There's nothing.
Unfortunately, there's nothing on that.
See, here's the problem. The CVT is one of the biggest piece of dog excrement there is. It's all about fuel economy, and it's all about smooth, that doesn't have a shift.
Yeah.
So it's all about this and all about that. But here's the problem. Nobody rebuilds them. Right?
No.
Nobody likes them.
No.
And nobody wants to deal with them, and there's no way we're going to install a used one.
No.
So we're stuck with the dealer, and we're stuck with just them. So all of us do the same thing. We call all the dealers and see who's going to give us the best deal so that we can sell our customers the best deal. And then by the time you do an R&R, remove and reinstall, and you do all the fluid and all that kind of stuff, $4,000 just isn't that bad.
No.
I don't think you have any choices. I wish you would have left the CVT out of it.
Yeah.
and stuff like that. But how many people are participating, do you think, in this?
As far as neighbors and things like that?
Well, just people who are going to talk with their pocketbook as opposed to their mouth.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's, I ask that question because all of us have these kinds of situations that face us. And there are times that we raise our hand and say, we'll be one of those, or we'll be half of that, or whatever. Typically, to customers that have been in business a very long time, and typically it's one of those stories that makes you want to cry. But one of the things that somebody told me the other day is that he asks them, where's the family?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes there is no family. Sometimes we got Ma and Pa Kettle, and the kids are clear across the United States or something like that. And it's not
right,
possible. But do you have a garage you deal with?
Yes.
Okay.
And I called him, and he said, well, I'll check, see what I can find as far as the price. Like you say, prices from dealers or places where he could get the transmission to replace it, because he said the same thing.
All right, well, I'd break it down this way. I would get my estimate and tell him you're doing something nice for Ma and Pa Kettle. Tell them they don't have the funds for this, and so you're going to pony up X amount of dollars, and you try to get whoever else in the neighborhood can pony up, and then you go to the shop and say, we've come up with $3,000 or $2,500, and if you'll help us there, then that's fine.
Right.
But you better have quite a few work orders at the shop, because we're not going to do that for somebody that's just been in for one oil change in 1917.
Yeah.
So and then you could say, we're all willing to make a payment, and could you just stretch out you know, something else, and maybe the shop will say, well, I'll knock $500 off of it. It will be $35. You guys come in with $25, and so I'm going to give your group a payment plan of, you know, $100 a month for the next 12 months. I can't speak for all the shops, but I know that all of us are faced with that, and we're right around the corner from Christmas.
Yeah.
And we just got through Thanksgiving, so you know, somebody's got to take the lead and go out, and maybe they had their car worked on someplace that they have a relationship with, and that you might be able to talk with that repair shop or a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Right. That's where. Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Mark. I kind of told them the same thing, so we'll work to that end.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to you. Thank you very much, David. 602-508-0960. We're not going to be able to get you now, but in the next 5 minutes, we'll get you. 602-508-0960. And I'm going to tell you about Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Been a trusted name for automotive repair in the Phoenix area since 1967. He's a good guy. He's really a good diagnostician. He does everything from electrical work to oil changes, failed emissions, and the big stuff, engines, transmissions, differentials. Bob's been around the block a couple of times, and he's probably been around the block as many times as I have, but he's probably not been in all the trouble that I have. But him and Ellen run Larry Harker's Auto, and if you're in the 38th Avenue and Ames School area, then I would strongly suggest you stop by there. Now, if you're one of those persons that's taking your car to everybody in town and nobody can fix it, he'd be a good guy as well to look at it, and oftentimes he'll raise his hand for those kinds of things. So sometimes all of us like to be a hero, but sometimes we got too many cars in there at the time that we need to be a hero, and we just won't take another one. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. On behalf of Kurt, and Jeff, and Mark, I'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. You have a car question? Did you guys hear he said, I had a friend?
Yeah.
And what's the first thing that comes to your mind? As somebody who, how many years you got? We got 100 years between three of us.
Yeah, we got over 100.
So it's just kind of like, well, my friend.
Yeah.
Many times don't we think he's talking about himself, but he doesn't want to talk about himself? Now, this one, I believe him.
Yeah.
But when it's, well, I have a friend that's got this problem with this car, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, well, it's you.
Yeah. A little too much detail.
You're right about that, a little too much detail. All right, speaking of detail, S&S Tires is on the west side. They're on Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. They have a really good comprehensive line of tires, many different brands in the same size. So you can pull in and say, take a look at my tire and give me good, better, best tire out the door prices based on your huge selections of tires. Now, from wheelbarrows to tractors and everything in between. So we're covering motorhomes and small cars and big cars and SUVs and all that kind of stuff. They're going to balance your tires. They do alignments and suspension work. They do oil changes, and they do a lot of other stuff. So if you're looking for new tires on anything you own and you're on the west side, S&S Tires is a great place to go. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. Guy goes into one of my shops, and he says that the engine's knocking, and it's a Chevy pickup with a 454 flag on it. What was that? SS454 flags on it, which is the little side emblems that suggest that it's an SS truck with a 454, and it isn't. It's a small block Chevy. So he comes in, and he says, you know, I know it needs a motor, and my wife's really mad at me, and, you know, I know it's going to be $15,000, but, you know, would you just take a look at it? And this was over the phone. So we said, come on down. So we get our most senior tech, and we say, hey, Eddie, you know, go take a ride with him. So I'll tell you from the customer's perspective, they come back, and the customer goes into the lobby and sits down. We've already got a work order on it. And the service writer went up and says, you know, what's the outcome? And he goes, he knew what was the matter with it before we had gone a mile. And the service writer said, so where are we at? He says, he told me about $150. And I said, he's going to put a motor in it for $150? I'm getting a little worried here. I hope it's the blower motor, you know, not the engine.
Yeah.
So here's the work order. It says, we inspected the vehicle and we tightened up all the header bolts.
Uh-huh.
So it's got the back four on one side that are real loose. So he tightens those up. Then he finds a collector, which has three bolts, only has two bolts.
Uh-huh.
So he puts a third bolt in. And through the grace of God, none of the gaskets had been burnt.
Okay.
Because of the thing. So he completed that repair, and that fixed the engine knock. And so then we went in and checked the vehicle. We inspected the vehicle, found the timing wasn't even close. So we adjusted the timing for maximum power. Now, I'm not going to tell him how we do that, but we do that.
Yeah.
We do that. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not something we want to tell people how to do it, but it is very simple.
Yes.
And typically it's an inexpensive thing that shouldn't take you longer than half an hour?
About half an hour. Yeah, max. Yeah.
Max. Don't say max, just a half an hour. You know, because somebody might have a distributor that takes a special wrench, and we're going to be 45 minutes trying to loosen the distributor and tighten it back down.
Yeah, if it's back east and it's full of rust.
Exactly, exactly. So forget his max, folks. We're talking about a half an hour. And so at $110 an hour, you're talking $55, okay?
Yeah.
So we inspected it, and we adjusted it, and it really runs much better. We completed the service. And so we said to him, you go ahead and drive it. And if you like it, come back and pay us. It was $152.79. And if you're not happy with it, then don't come back at all.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we're pretty convinced that we got it. So he comes back. He's got a smile that looks like the grill on a 56 Cadillac.
Yeah.
And he's just so excited. And you know what he was most excited about? He got to go home and tell the wife that he doesn't really have to spend 15,000 miles.
He gets to keep the truck.
So we see those a lot. You see them a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they come in and they tell you, I need a motor. Or they come in and tell you, I need a transmission. And then you find out that, you know, it's not that at all.
Yeah.
It just works so much better if they'll just tell us the symptoms or show us the symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, come out. I had a guy on a Toyota the other day that called me. And he said, intermittently it blows cold, and intermittently it doesn't. And I want somebody to add, I think, 6,000s, bring the clutch in 6,000s. And usually we would stack some washers behind the hub or something.
Right.
But I said, well, why do you think that's it? And he says, well, I think the clutch isn't engaging. And I said, well, that's easy enough to tell.
Yeah, it's easy.
I said, it's probably a low-pressure switch or a high-pressure switch. It might be a little low on free. And I said, I don't understand why this is a problem, but take it to your shop. But I don't think adjusting the clutch on your air conditioning compressor is going to do anything for you because I've never done that before in 39 years.
Yeah.
So if you want, bring it over, and I'll tack weld the clutch.
Yeah.
So
run a screw in it.
Yeah, and I'll make it work all the time for you. So he comes back, and I also said, it makes a difference if it's blowing cold air or not blowing at all, because we got a fan resistor and we got a high speed on the fan, so we got some other stuff. So when he says it doesn't blow cold, does it still blow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said he got a new relay and stuff like that. And then he writes back and he says, I just don't want to buy a whole new air conditioning unit. And I just don't want to go through that, and I'm scared that wherever I take it, that it's going to need a whole new air conditioning unit. So now that I've told you this story as best as I can remember on email, tell me what you're thinking real quick.
Well, I'm thinking switches as possible, as long as it was still blowing.
When you said it's blowing cold, it's not even really low on Freon, probably. It's an electronic signal, most likely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I said to him, we can't jump from... just because either it quits blowing or it starts blowing warm. We can't. But the most important part of that story is it blows cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to really – I want to take it someplace because – why? Because just tell them what you told me.
Yeah.
Just intermittently, it doesn't blow cold, but the blower blows, and intermittently it blows cold. And so I don't think that's going to be really tough to figure that out.
No.
Unless it's a Cressida. Remember the Cressida?
Yes.
Who made the Cressida?
Toyota. Wasn't that the one that had the RPM signal on the AC clutch?
I want to tell you something. That's the biggest piece of horse manure I've ever worked. If a person brought a Cressida into me, I would close the front doors. I remember with those, you don't even remember because you weren't old enough. But that was the, I mean to tell you, it just ate your lunch.
Yeah, and it was a forerunner when Toyota was just starting to get into all of the expensive luxury sedans.
And not only that is they were the first ones to, like you said, an RPM signal on the compressor clutch. Do we see one of those now? I mean, this was all new stuff.
Yeah.
And back then, during the 80s and 90s, oh, my God, was that car. My heart would fall, and I would get sick, and I would tell them that everybody here at the shop has rabies, and you don't want your car here, and stuff like that. Hey, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Well, 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we've got time if you'd like to call in and have a car problem. You're more than welcome, 602-508-0960. If you want to chastise Kurt for degrading the Cressida and you had one that actually worked, then you're welcome to call us.
You know, Mark, I know where everybody's at.
You do?
It's NASCAR weekend.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But there's some people at home, and you know what? Ladies, that's the easiest one to just kind of work with. You know what I mean? They don't start off with telling you how much hair they have in their chest.
They'll actually tell you the symptoms.
Well, speaking of ladies.
Yes.
We got this. We had this Camaro come in.
Okay.
And she's had the car for about a year and a half, and she says, I had a friend riding with me, and there's this weird noise that I guess I never paid attention to. Can you figure it out? So I took it out and drive it, and I'm like, it's driving just exactly like I would think it should drive. So I said, why don't you come on over and go for a ride with me? So she takes off, starts driving, drives like, you know, expect normal lady, nothing aggressive, nothing, you know, so.
Not like my wife.
No.
Burning rubber, going around corners, 3 G's and stuff.
Okay. So we're driving, and she goes, oh, right there. I was like, oh, that's normal. I was like, what? She's like, that's supposed to do that? I said, you've got a Camaro that you bought, and I don't know, you had the exhaust done or whatever, but you hear the exhaust a little more, and this has got that cylinder deactivation. So when you go from an 8-cylinder to a 4-cylinder, that exhaust tone changes. Mm-hmm. For some reason, she never heard it for a year until a friend mentioned it. Oh. But it's just one of those weird things that's like, okay, we can go for a ride, and let's figure out what happened,
and it's
totally normal that she didn't experience it until somebody said, that doesn't sound normal.
Unless, of course, your boyfriend was lying and said that the exhaust has been on a long time and he just put it on a month ago. Because you're absolutely right. We have a 2010 Camaro. We put that blower on it. Yeah. And we put aftermarket exhaust in it, and that cylinder selects just crazy.
So you disabled it, right?
I did.
I know you would.
And
yeah.
You know, it's a fuel economy thing.
Yeah.
And folks, what it is you drive your big Blazer and your big Suburban down the road, and if it doesn't, if the computer decides that I'm going to shut off 4 cylinders. And I'm going to turn you into a 4-cylinder or a 6-cylinder or leave you as an 8-cylinder.
Yeah.
And so, and then it changes the, especially with aftermarket exhaust, there's a noise change, a vibration, a harmonic changes. And it's really an uncomfortable thing because, you know, I got a tire going flat and all that other kind of stuff. So cylinder select now. Had a cylinder select in the other day, and the gasket was bad. And, of course, it's just going to use oil pressure to disable engine or the valves. Here's what bugs me about that, and this is a General Motors. We're going to shut off the valves to the cylinder.
Yep.
We're turning that piston into a compressor because the valves are never opening.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they do it as they time it. They actually time it where it's a half charge.
Okay.
And so they actually shut the intake and exhaust off when it's under a like half charge, not all the way up or not all the way down.
Okay.
And so it's less resistance both up and down.
So there's no time we're building compression because both valves are shut? Because if it's a half charge at the middle, we're still going up.
You still build a little bit, but you also create a little bit of a vacuum when it goes down, so it has a pull it back in too. So that's the way they figured it could best reduce, because it also keeps it from sucking oil in, because if you get your oil on your rings and you do it when it's completely shut, then you create a massive vacuum, you suck oil in. So they needed a little bit of a pressure to keep oil out of it, but they also didn't want too much pressure to resist going up and down.
Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Boy, Mark, man, you are still thinking of the 468 Oldsmobiles.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants. So a guy comes in with the General Motors, I think it's the 6-liter with cylinder selector. You can call it whatever you want.
All the V8s now have it.
Okay. And it has 30 pounds of oil pressure, but we've got a problem.
Uh-huh.
So we pull off the valve covers and we replace it. And we can see the valve covers where the problem lies. And we're going to replace it because it comes with the solenoids anyway. So we put it back in and the oil pressure drops to 8 pounds.
Why'd you pinch a seal?
Do you think it's on the top?
we did the top twice more.
And didn't fix it.
We created a problem. Or at least I think we did.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think?
I think you activated the system, probably. Okay.
But in reality, when we watch it with a scanner, we're seeing normal cylinder select and V8 time and throttle up hard, and you got all eight cylinders and everything. So,
and well, when fixing the system, you probably had 30 before with the system not operating, and then you dropped 8 with the system operating, which means you were masking a problem before with the system inoperable.
How do you explain that to the customer? You came in with 30 pounds of oil pressure, and I'm sending you out the door with 8.
You just
That's
tell
not
them,
my job. That's Jeff's job.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You just tell them that Eddie made boo-boo.
Yeah. So anyway, we get everybody together.
Uh-huh.
And somebody says, well, this has got an O-ring problem down to at the oil pump.
Yeah.
So now, Mr. Smarty Pants, how do you diagnose that?
Usually we overfill them and then pick up the front end or the back end, depending upon where the oil pump is, so you can...
He's really pissing me off.
You know, you need to go ask him some questions about the 468 olds. He'll never get them one right.
Yeah, yeah.
They ain't got a clue.
Yeah, yeah. And how many, when you change the dwell by 4 degrees, how much does it change the timing?
4 degrees.
Four.
No, it doesn't.
He told me that.
No.
I'm going off what he's told me for years.
No, he just told you 4, but that's not true. Okay, and the dwell is the amount of time the points are?
I ain't got a clue. I think it's open.
No.
Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants. We did overfill it, and it was the O-ring. As soon as we got past that, we were aerating the oil up.
Yeah.
But we overfilled it. Once we got the oil level above the O-ring, then we start sucking the oil, and everything's fine. So now we got to pull the pan and put an O-ring in there. But it had nothing to do with the top end, because we still had a problem that we fixed with the top end, but 8 pounds of oil pressure, we couldn't give it back to them.
No.
So.
No, that's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, So you think you know everything, huh?
No, I don't know.
Kurt and I are going to bury you for the rest of the 2 hours. We're gonna be making sure that we know that what you don't know. Do you know what a 53 Pontiac looks like?
Ain't got a clue.
Do you know what motor it had in it?
Ain't got a clue.
Good. That's Mark and Kurt. Mark? wait, we did points, whether they're open or closed.
You forgot metering plates on Holley carburetors and stuff. We'd go there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, it's 2, Mark and Kurt, 2, to Jeff, 1. We'll give him one.
Yeah.
We'll give him one. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You know what people are saying? This is a bunch of boys that are hiding in an outhouse in a farm, drinking their dad's beer, and they're talking about cars. That's what it sounds like. So, 602-508-0960. I'll probably get in trouble for using bad language, but he still makes me mad. And you know, the call on the
Welcome
general,
to my world, Mark.
The conversation goes like this. Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi, Jim, the general manager.
Yeah.
Mark, did we have something that happened this Saturday? Jim, just go ahead and chew. Just go ahead and tell me what you're going to do. How many shows am I suspended for? You know, all that kind of stuff. And one time he actually called me and he says, no, I'm not here to complain. He says, I thought that was great radio. He says, I was even laughing. He's probably not going to laugh about the word pissed. No, he's not going to laugh. But it's okay. I've said it twice. And if you're going to get in trouble for one, then go ahead and use it again and again. And it's but anyway, it is. I think the message that we're trying to drive home is you get a second opinion when you have a big ticket.
Yeah.
You can't call them and ask them for an opinion. Now, if somebody comes into the shop and wants a second opinion on an engine, what's the charge? You're going to quote a range, or are you going to go listen to it or drive it or what?
If it goes into the shop itself,
okay,
where they want us to actually do something diagnostics, mm-hmm, then it'll be your 65 to 125, somewhere in there.
Okay.
If it's something where they said, I got this noise, often Jeff will go for a ride with it, or if Eric's free, we'll send him, and then ride it around the block. Then we'll determine if they have a problem that needs to be checked or if we can answer their question right there.
Okay. Looking and smelling and driving outside the bays is what we most of us do for nothing.
That's what we do for nothing.
You're not going to – I tell people boldly – you're not going to take my tech for the next 30 minutes.
No.
I mean, that ain't happening. You better be able to make it happen. We're not going to drive until it does happen, and you're not going to keep my tech.
No.
So you go around the block, show them what the noise is, and then come on back here.
Yeah.
And then we're going to tell you, well, we're going to need to lift it up. We're going to need to spin a couple wheel bearings and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there is things that we do for nothing.
Yes.
If the noise is there, just pop the hood, and if it's there, we can usually find it pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, and if they pop the hood and you see three guys take off running, you know it's a bad one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and especially if they're running for the fire station.
Yeah. You know,
it's and speaking of that, what were we just talking about? underneath the hood, what? I was going to ask the grasshopper here a question.
Oh, the 468, or are we talking about Holley metering plates?
We could do that. Yeah, do you know what the biggest problem with Holley carburetor metering plates is?
The power valve.
No, that's you're right about that.
That usually
the
was.
Bigger problem.
It was Holley?
Hey, that's the third.
He's dancing around it, Mark.
I want to tell you something. I hate that carburetor.
I do too.
There is no way you can look good. There is no way you... change them out to a spread bore. That's the way. And guys come in and they go, oh, I got a Holley 850. Well, that's a step backwards.
Yeah. Well, the one thing about a Holley on straight line acceleration, they're hard to beat. And you can change jets real quick.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's right. So basically what you're saying is my wife is a great lady 2.5 minutes a day. Okay? Otherwise, she's drunker than a hoot owl and she flirts with all my buddies. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, metering plates. What's the deal with metering plates? Grasshopper doesn't know. They get warped.
The warpage.
Yeah. And you know how you check to see if they're warpage?
It's leaking fuel?
Yeah, it does. It leaks fuel. Yeah. But it could be a gasket, too.
Yeah.
All right, you just rub it on a piece of sandpaper on a flat workbench and see. Now, is there anything you can do to those?
Tell me.
We put them on a metal stand on the press. And we put a piece of wood on top of them, and we just crank down the press. Now, we tell them, I'm either going to straighten it or I'm gonna break it. I'm going to break it. So I'm going to bid these parts to you, and you just thank the Lord if we're able. Now, there's been time, it's like a chiropractor. You go, and then there's, and you think, oh, I broke it. Well, you put it on, and it's not broken. It's straight now, but it's not broken. But you're still going to bid the metering plate or the bowl or something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we've had fun for this first hour, but we're going to have another hour after that. And I think we should talk about Grasshopper's relationship with his wife.
That might get you in trouble.
No, it ain't going to get me in trouble.
It'll get you in trouble.
No, it won't. No, it won't. And it's okay if it does. You know, trouble is, my dad used to say trouble is his middle name. 602-508-0960. And some people listen to us outside the Arizona area, and they can call 888-960-9696. 888-960-9696. That's toll free outside of Phoenix. So if you're listening on iHeartRadio or something like that, we'll get you just as quickly as we can, but we're still paying for the bill ourselves. So I got Kurt here from Kurt's Auto, Jeff from Kurt's Auto. Oh, wait a minute. Your name's Eric. I keep forgetting. But actually, his name's Grasshopper.
Yeah.
And so 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Did he say one minute?
He said 1 minute.
You know, I was going to give it back to you a minute early because I was looking at the clock.
And why are your pants on your head?
Why are your pants on? Is that what he just
That's
said?
That's what I thought it's.
Why are your pants on your head?
Why are your pants on your head?
Oh, I think that he don't think you're paying attention, Mark.
Do you know where that commercial is? Do you know what that
No.
is? A father is teaching his daughter how to change the wax ring on a toilet. I want to tell you something. There ain't nobody teaching me how to change a wax ring on a toilet. Have you ever seen a wax ring?
Yes, I have.
It is a model of what's gone down the throat of the toilet, okay? And there isn't big enough gloves for me to wear. And he's teaching his daughter to do that. Oh, boy, is that an ugly thing. 6025. I'll get it this time, Eric. 602-508-0960.
For informational purposes only.
Here's Mark, and you know there's trouble on its way. I guess I had to turn on your mic so you guys can talk too, eh? All righty, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, maybe you want us to compare the dependability of two or three cars that you and your wife are you know, bantering around what you're going to buy, and from a maintenance point of view, and from a comfort point of view, and for dependability, and you know, how much time are you going to spend in the repair shop? We could probably cover a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and let me touch base. And folks, I have a list of shops on my website, marksalem.com, that I call the best shops in Phoenix area. And the reason why I do that is because the number one question I get asked is you know, where are you? And I say, well, where are you? And they say, well, I'm in Deer Valley. And I say, well, I'm about far south as you can get. I'm in Tempe. But I'll send you to a shop that's in your area. That's important to me. I can tell you this much, too. Since 1988, not one of my shops has not handled a complaint to my complete satisfaction, and I am a specialist in those kinds of automotive complaints, oftentimes hired by others to determine what's right or what's wrong, so I'm really proud of my shops. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is one of those shops. They do diesel work. They focus on foreign and domestic light-duty diesel trucks. They're located on I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road in North Phoenix, I should say, Monday through Friday. And they sell parts 24 hours a day at their website. So you can get more information from my best car repair shops list under marksalem.com and under the diesel shop listing. So, and Nate there is one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. And I've known him for many, many years, and I know that he's going to treat you fairly. On another subject, Eric, are you married?
You know I am.
Yeah. And what do you think of your mother-in-law?
You got him now, yeah, Mark. Get
I
him.
Do. I got you. And there's no reason not to tell. I mean, just let's be honest. What do you think about your mother-in-law?
I wouldn't put up with him if it wasn't for her.
Oh, okay. So this is dodge and duck and dodge time, okay?
You taught me a lot.
I didn't ask you about him. I asked you about your mother-in-law. Tell me about your mother-in-law.
Well, she's only about, what is, if I say too much, she's going to be happy. And if I say too little.
Say 4'10". She always claims 4'11", and she's pushing it.
Okay, so she's 4'10".
A little short.
Little short. Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't like that word short either.
Dainty?
Yeah.
Oh. Or a little rough around the edges?
Well.
Or does she use bad words?
No.
No bad words.
But
does she drink?
No.
Okay, this is going to be question and answer, okay?
You have to pry it out of him.
Yeah.
Well, does let me she just yell say, at you don't you? Want... You, don't want to get on her wrong side.
Okay. Now, so has she approved of your care and custody and control of your wife, which is obviously her daughter?
I think so, because, you know, yeah. I'll tell you the... I'll tell you the first time I...
Go ahead, though.
I'll tell you the first time I went and picked up my wife mm-hmm. for a date we were going to go out. I had her all round up, because... You know, we're teenage kids at the time, didn't have much money, so I showed up an old 88 Pontiac Grand Am with a busted window.
Okay. At monsoon.
On monsoon season. Okay. I don't know.
A trash bag. That's what trash bags are for.
Okay.
So he couldn't afford one.
All the gas stations had them ripped off already.
Go ahead.
So I picked her up. I mean... She come home perfectly fine and everything that night, but you know, if she let me do that, I'm pretty sure I get away with a lot more now.
Okay. So is that all you've got to tell us about your relationship with your mother-in-law and your wife and all that kind of stuff?
Well,
How many times did you date her before you asked her to marry you?
We dated for about a year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything embarrassing that you did during that year and a half that you regret?
No.
Did you ever get drunk in front of her and barf on her or anything like that?
No, Mark.
Okay. Let me tell you about my first date. First of all, Renee's parents would not let her ride a motorcycle, so I had to have a friend pick me up about a block away, pick her up, and then take her and get my motorcycle. Now, you don't remember this, but there used to be a big Goodyear clock on Mill Avenue at the river bottom, and underneath the Goodyear clock was a place that everybody rode dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there, you know what I mean? I'm going to show her how to ride a dirt bike. And so I said, you want to go up that hill, and you could see these motorcycles, ying, 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 ying. And then they'd disappear for a minute, and then to the left, they'd go, ying, 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 up the hill. And I'm going, you know, they're going straight, and then like 20, 30 feet to the left, and they, ying, ying, ying. I go, okay, well, I said, come on, let's go up there. She says, no, I'm not going up there. And I said, okay, well, I'll go up. You just watch me. So I'm going up this thing, ying, 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 and I'm full throttle, and I get up to where there's a zig, you know. And I realize now I know because there's a big canal there, and the bridge is to the left about 20 feet. Well, I never made it, but I did almost jump the canal. My motorcycle hit the other side, broke it in half, because the front wheel was on the road and the back wheel was on the concrete side. I slid down into the water. A bunch of guys helped me get the motorcycle out. She's down there looking. She says, all of a sudden, I see all these motorcycles going, but I don't see you going, ying, 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 up the other hill. So we walked down. We walked to Monty's Casa Vieja together.
Yeah.
We call for help. I got a little bit of road rash, and I've been crying. I'm really hurt. And so they take us home. My friends pick me up, and we take them, they take us home. And I end up in the bathtub while my mother and my grandmother scrub on the road rash. Oh. And she's sitting out in the hallway because I'm supposed to take her home. So that was our first date.
And, she should have. She should have
said
learned.
It's the most exciting first date I've ever had. She says, no one has entertained me like you have. And then further down the road, we're riding a motorcycle on South Mountain. Now, you got to remember, you don't remember, but remember the red, white, and blue helmets that Clint Eastwood used to wear?
Yeah.
So we're riding, and I don't wear a face shield because I'm like Clint Eastwood, and I got a 450 Honda with stretched forks on it that's really loud. So we're going to go up South Mountain. So we're coming down, after we come down, we're going down Central Avenue, and she's kind of holding on to the bars on her hips. And I forget she's there, so I go, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there's something all over her face shield. So I take my arm, and I go back, and I go, those are both true stories. Those are both true stories. She says, it's to that point that I knew that you weren't the one for me. And I said, okay, but we'll be married 45 years in February. Actually, I'll be married 45 years in February. She's not admitting it.
She'll be 45 years into her sentence.
Oh, yeah, and I actually married her when she was six, so you can figure out what her age is in. But anyway, that's my story. And she will tell you, with a small amount of embellishment, they are exactly true. And I still don't know why. But anyway, getting back to your mother-in-law. Does she drink?
No.
No, you asked me that already.
Okay, she doesn't drink. Old. Does she use bad language?
No.
She's never said anything bad. She hasn't used any bad words.
No, no.
Kurt, has she ever used bad words for
no.
you?
No.
Okay.
All right. You got to understand one thing about his mother-in-law, though.
Yeah.
The first time I met her, she had a 75 Nova.
Yeah.
She was burning tires.
Oh, she's my kind of woman.
Yeah. Well, it impressed me so much. I went ahead and married her.
Yeah.
I've been buying tires for 40 years.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad deal.
I got two going on her van Monday morning.
It could be worse. She could be drinking. Yeah. And she drinks like Seagram's or something really expensive, you know. I don't know. So you don't have any stories like that? You don't have any stories that you got stopped by the police and that you had to switch places and let her drive you home?
No.
Nothing like that at all?
No.
Okay. Did her father like you?
He hired me, so probably keep an eye on me. So
how long did you work there? A week? All right. 602-508-0960. I think your father-in-law is sitting here. Yeah. 602-508-0960. We're talking about cars, believe it or not. And we're not talking about first dates and marriage and all that kind of stuff. But we're killing time because nobody's calling in. So the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. Or if you'd like to just share your most embarrassing moment with your wife, and you can use fake names. And you know what I'm saying? We could turn this into a marriage counseling show.
They would be really in bad shape if they come to us for marriage counseling.
Wait a minute. We got 100 years of auto mechanics background.
And over 100 years of marriage between us.
So, I mean, and to the same women.
Yeah.
No, well, we each have a separate.
Right. No.
Yeah. No. We don't belong. You know, we're not.
No.
Yeah, we're not all married to the same woman. We're all married to the same kind of woman.
Yeah.
And why are your pants on your head, Kurt?
Why are your pants on your head?
Yeah. Okay, we have a caller. Who might that be?
That would be Morgan.
Morgan, good morning. Are we going to talk about cars, or do you want to talk about your wife?
Morgan?
So I would say cars.
Okay, good, good. It's Morgan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I assumed you were a man, and so I apologize, but I'm sure I'm not the first person that's done that.
Nope, you're not.
Okay.
Definitely not.
I'm ready. How can we help you?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to call in because I had actually emailed you on Monday about a transmission that was clunking when I put it into gear. And we were thinking that it was a transmission problem, but it ended up being broken motor mounts, you said. And we actually checked that out, my dad and I. And I just wanted to report to you that it was broken motor mounts.
You know, that's kind of nice because people often wonder if I even know what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, that's one, Mark.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, that's very kind of you. Now, I'll bet, did I talk to you or I talk to your dad?
You talked to me on Monday morning.
All right. And this is what I would have told her so that you can chime in. I told her that if she would open the hood and watch the motor, she could hold her foot on the brake and put it in drive, and she could kind of throttle up and let go, throttle up and let go, and she would see a broken motor mount.
Yeah.
Now, she needs to do that in drive and reverse.
Yes.
Okay? So as she does that, she's going to see a significant amount of movement on one side and not the other if she has a broken mount. Mm. And typically, if it's a rear-wheel drive car, the mount is going to be on the driver's side.
Yes.
Which is the one that we're stretching. The torque side. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, was this a rear-wheel drive or a front-wheel drive?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
2000 Honda Accord.
Okay, so it's a front drive.
It's a front wheel drive. Yeah. Now, that sits crossways.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I have to ask him is the water pump on the passenger side or the driver's side?
Well, that one, I think it's on the passenger side.
I do, yes.
Okay.
I believe that's correct.
And I can tell you, this lady got what I was laying down.
Yeah.
I mean, to tell you. And I said that because now when you throttle up, grasshopper, and you're in
radiator.
Drive. Wait a minute. Don't answer my question. Okay, if you throttle up, go ahead and answer this one.
Okay.
If you throttle up.
Okay.
No, that's all I'm going to tell you. Okay, you're in the Honda Accord. The water pump's on the passenger side. And so you put your foot on the brake, you put it in drive, and you kind of throttle it up. Which side lifts? Radiator side.
Yeah, radiator side.
Okay, then she puts it in reverse, and the back
firewall,
side.
Firewall, yeah.
Windshield side.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's obviously what they did. Now, how many miles are on your Accord?
It has 192,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what would you two suggest that she do? Just do the one, or do them all, or what?
If she's never done any of them, I really would do them all because of the age of the deterioration in the mounts.
And you're not going to be satisfied with aftermarket mounts.
Okay.
You really need to buy dealer mounts on that vehicle.
All right, well, I disagree with you. I disagree with you on that. That's okay. We're just going to disagree politely.
Yeah.
But this is exactly the kind of discussion our industry has.
Yes.
We've had good luck with aftermarket, but they don't have a box. They don't come in a white box that says made here.
No.
They have a brand on them that we recommend or we like, Moog and some other stuff. Now, keep in mind that there's no such Honda factory.
Yeah, yeah.
Those motor mounts are made in South America, and they're made in a small town, and there's only four people that live in that town. And so, but in your particular case, now I'm also going to give them the other side of all mounts.
Yeah.
If she does one, there's a small possibility she'll end up loading something else.
Yes.
And causing a vibration or a thump. But she could do one mount. There's little duplication of labor. So each mount carries its own amount of labor.
Yeah.
So it's not like we'll do two for the price of one. And the second issue is it's got 200,000 miles on it. And so let's just put one mount in it. And if we create a problem, we'll fix it. And if we don't, we dodge the bullet. But you got the benefit of the discussion right in front of you, and we can disagree. And unfortunately, Kurt and Eric are wrong. But
I've been wrong before, Mark.
Anyway, Morgan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to add something. When we did do that test that you talked about, where I'm pressing the gas and my foot on the brake, it's bouncing quite a bit. And when I put it into gear, I mean, you can actually see the motor bounce a lot, like the whole thing bounces. So we've gone ahead and ordered the two motor mounts and the transmission mount.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you would have done it in drive and we had a lot of movement and you went to reverse and we had a little bit of movement,
that would be good.
Yeah.
The diagnosis is correct. It's the radiator side. It's the torque side.
Yeah.
And you could do that. But if we had equal movement on both sides, then there's no question that two engine mounts have to be. Well, Morgan, thank you very much for letting everybody know that every once in a while, Mark Salem guesses right.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much again. That's so awesome. We didn't even think about that for whatever reason. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty. And then I'm going to say something about Morgan. You're only as good as the information you get.
Yeah.
And so I say, does it make the noise here? Does it make the noise there? I want you to try this. I want you to try that. And if it's kind of like if you say it only makes the vibration when I'm going 40 miles an hour in reverse, then if I guess, I'm probably wrong because what you're telling me is wrong.
Yeah.
But there's three questions. The women know all three answers. It's yes, no, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Men, they don't know that I don't know.
Yeah.
So they're going to just BS their way through that. 602-508-0960. Thank you, Morgan. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mark, sounds like you're having a great time this morning.
Well, we've been drinking since 8, buddy. So.
Well, that sounds my kind of show. All righty. Hey, two questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, I've got a 98 Dodge Stratus with 140,000 miles on it. The check engine light's on. I bought it from my brother, and he said he had taken it to the dealer, and the dealer said it's a sensor in the transmission or something like that, and quoted him all kinds of money to fix it. If I was to take it to an independent shop, what would you think would be a reasonable cost for something like that?
Okay, and I'm going to throw it to you guys first. So the question is give me a minimum, maximum. Give me a window, Kurt.
Well, if the tranny doesn't have to come out.
No, this is just the diagnostics.
Oh, okay, the diagnostics is going to be around $1.25 on that.
Okay, you?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, and I'm gonna take the same on the 75 on the short side because the plug's unplugged or something like that stupid, and 125, 150 on the top end.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take this time for just a minute.
Yeah.
The process is pretty simple. It's you give us the symptoms as best you can. Now,
that's just it. There are no symptoms.
Okay, and I understand.
I mean, okay.
I understand, but. Sometimes the symptoms don't show up in the code, or sometimes they do. The code has manifested, but the code is just, I got a problem in Ohio. We still got to find the street, the address, the city, and the zip code, all that kind of stuff. But in reality, with scanners and knowing how to read the scanners, we can plug in and we can interface with the traffic. So we got the mouthpiece over here and the ear over here, and we can plug in right in the middle. So we know what's coming out and what the ear's doing. We got the doers and the talkers, and we got all this going on. So, and then we can go drive it and make sure it hits all the gears. Mm-hmm. Now, can you guess on a 98 Dodge Stratus on what it might be? Grasshopper?
Without symptoms?
Yeah.
He's going to feel symptoms. More than likely, it's a torque converter.
Okay. And then if you did that, and if you thought it was a converter, we could unplug the converter and say to him, go drive it for 3 or 4 days. Then all of a sudden he comes back and says, I don't know what you did, but that's it. Well, then the question is the converter coming apart and filled the transmission full of metal? Because on 140,000, you're not going to go in and replace the converter.
No.
Because if you have, well, without pulling the pan and doing the filter and all that kind of stuff. So if the pan's got metal in it, the converter is going to live.
Oh, yeah.
But if the pan's kind of clean, then we can probably sneak a converter along with the transmission service.
Yeah.
So those are the things.
Yeah,
now, let me give you an option. When it happens, is it north of 35 miles an hour?
Well, again, there's no symptoms. The car runs great, and it's been running. I bought the car from my brother, and he says he's had the light on. He's driven it for over 3 or 4 years with his light on. He's been... And so that's why, but I need to get it tested for emissions.
Yeah.
And I need to get that.
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with it there. Yeah, the answer to the question of why there's no symptoms will be easy once we fix the source of the light.
Yeah.
So we got to fix the source of the light. Then we can answer why there's no symptoms or why you didn't see the symptoms. But what part of town do you live in?
I'm in Northwest Phoenix.
Okay. Is it Fletcher? Tom Fletcher? Thunderbird.
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, 88th Avenue.
Thunderbird Automotive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
88th Avenue?
Right.
All right. Then you also got Larry Harker down there at 38th Avenue and Indian School. So either one of those guys, I'm pretty sure that they can help you out. Okay?
Solid. Hey, one more question.
Yeah.
Way back, I was listening to your show, and I need you to dispel or confirm something I heard.
Okay.
And you said, you don't have to shut your air conditioner off because when you start the car, you know, it doesn't operate.
Right.
I understand that. But I was told that by shutting it off, it allows the condensation to drain properly, and you eliminate that musty smell when you do turn the air conditioner.
Okay. I'm going to agree with that if you turn it off 2 hours before you're going to shut it off and just run the blower, then you're going to dry out the evaporator case. But we're all shaking our heads no, that's a bunch of a hooky. Is that the right word? Am I using the right word? But anyway,
I think hooey is more the word.
Oh, hooey. Thank you. I was thinking of hooey or poo-poo or something like that.
Yeah.
But the answer, and now, if you want to dry it out and still have air, go to normal. And get out of maximum normal for the last couple of miles. But when you shut it off, really and truly, here's the question. The real question is what kind of problems am I going to spend money on by not shutting off my air conditioner, or by just shutting off my key and shutting off my air conditioning?
Nothing.
Nothing. I agree. All right, Andy, thank you very much, buddy. Don, you're up next. How can I help you? Don? Is Don there?
Should be there.
Don. I'm going to count to three, Dawn. One. Spot me the two, guys.
Two.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, I was one of our famous Nissan dealers a few weeks ago, and I towed in one of those little cars with the bad transmission. And they go, well, we've got a fix for this. We're pulling out the so-and-so and this and that and the other, and we have a fix for it. I'm going, oh, no.
And you're talking about the CVT.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that there are times, but in my opinion, it might be less than 10% of the time that you might be able to fix some outside component that's talking to the transmission or giving the transmission bad information.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's true that we need to diagnose that.
Right.
Because that's going to be kind of easy to do because we're going to watch what's going on. So that will have a difference. Okay, Danny, you stay right there because we're going to come back to you, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, 602-508-0960. And I'm talking as fast as I can because I got to get out in 1 second. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're going straight to the phones. And we're going to talk to Danny next. Danny, thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Oh, boy. Here we go. I have a 96 Chevrolet S10.
Okay.
It's been in the garage since 2011.
Okay.
Before we parked it, we were going to Wickenburg, and it dropped a cylinder.
Okay.
And so I had to turn around and sputter it all the way home, and I haven't messed with it since. We haven't really used it because we didn't need it. I just recently started working on it because I own a Dodge van, and that's a whole other story. Upon getting it started, I did get it started. I have a friend that's a mechanic. He used to be my neighbor, and he told me to look at the plug wires where the coil packs are and look for like any white residue, and there was some there. He says, I took the harness off and spread them out a little bit, and it started up. But prior to doing this, though, I replaced the fuel filter, drained the tank, and put fresh gas in.
Okay, so what's the question right now, though?
We got it started. I didn't keep it running for a long period of time. I probably only had it on 5 minutes. And waited a couple days, and when I went back out to start it back up, it would not start.
Okay.
And he came over and he got it started again. He had to put his hand over the intake. It popped and sputtered, but he got it running again smoothly. The next morning, it did the same thing. It wouldn't start, and it I have like a grinding noise when I try starting it now, and it doesn't want to start at all. And when it does get started, it runs terrible.
Okay. Well, we can't fix that car over the radio.
No.
Him putting his hand over the intake would suggest that he made it run rich. He shut the air off, and so he added fuel to it. So that's that. None of us agree with the idea that you look for white spots on the plug wire. If you got a bad plug wire, spray it with some water.
Yeah.
Just spritz it with water. And so, and then as far as the grinding noise is concerned, we'd have to hear that. It could be a starter drive. It could be a bad alternator bearing.
If my memory serves me right, this is Vortec.
I'm thinking 2.8 or 4.3, right?
It's 2.2.
Oh, it's a little four-cylinder.
Okay, so a little
four-cylinder.
I mean, this isn't going to be tough.
No.
On a 1 to 10 scale, this is a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you already got it running, and, you know, hopefully you'll suck the old gas out of it that's 11 years old.
Well, he said he flushed it and put new gas in it.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Thank you for that.
And a new fuel pump.
Okay.
Fuel pump, too.
So at this point, that's all you've done, right? You haven't done plug wires, or you did?
I did.
Okay, how about spark
plugs? It was 18 bucks, so I figured I might as well do it.
Okay, so what about the spark plugs? Did you do those?
Those are already new.
Okay.
That was the first thing I did back in 2011.
Okay, all right. So at this point, all we got to do is get it running, and then I think that, you know, if the temperature sender's not working, it's not going to know it's cold, so it's not going to tell the computer, and it's not going to run rich for a cold start.
Well, that is working because I had it up to temperature, you know, along these lines.
No. The temperature sender on the motor, the temperature we got a temperature a switch for the gauge, and then we have one that talks to the computer. So I don't see I don't see a real problem with I mean, what you're talking about. We just need, you've taken two of the 10 steps we should take, and if you got it running, that's pretty good. And if it idled, that's really good. And then all of a sudden you got new fuel in it, so that's good. And so when you look at the big picture, then you've done half of the process, but there's the rest of it, and frankly, you've guessed on a lot of it, but the fact that you got it running is impressive after 11 years. So it's, you have to finish it, but none of us can tell you about the grinding, none of us can tell you why it won't start until you put your hand over it. And if there's any misfire, or if it's not idling good, it could be vacuum leaks, it could be, I mean, there's just so many different things it can be. Running rich, running lean, and either one. How about black smoke out the tailpipe, anything there?
None.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Well, the little four-cylinder was a pretty good motor. So if it if all you had is an engine miss and a hiccup,
1 minute,
then the real easy part is get it running and go drive it, and then deal with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's low compression or it's a valve problem or starts back and fire through the intake or backfiring through the tailpipe, we're probably into a pretty big mechanical issue. But this could be grasshopper.
It could be as simple as an injector's restrictor.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm thinking
like that
injectors.
Too.
Okay,
that's the question though. Spark or fuel?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So we have to determine that.
Yep.
So if it's idling rough, you spritz a little gasoline in the intake, or you put your hand over the intake and see if it'll smooth out. And if it doesn't smooth out, and you make it run rich or you make it run lean, then it's probably going to be spark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that would be coilover or plug wire or whatever. But to be honest with you, this is less than $100. To just name the next two or three things that needs to be done, if you can get it running. So, all righty. Hey, Tommy, you got to stay there because I'll get you after this break. And if Gil keeps his word to me, it's going to be an 11-second break, but he usually doesn't, so it's probably going to be about a 3-minute break. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. Tom, you're up next. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, and like I promised, I'm going to take care of Tom right off the bat. Tom, how can we help you today?
I have a 2005 Volvo that I bought 3 years ago. It had 90,000 miles on it. I currently have 220,000 miles on it. A lot of summer vacations.
Yeah.
The Volvo transmission seems like it's, every once in a while when I slow down, if I'm on a hill or on the interstate and I punch it, it wants to hesitate, and sometimes it'll do a little clunking. Now, I've had it looked at, and they tested it. What inspired me to call you, I heard you say, don't bring the car in and let us drive around for days. But they've driven it around and can't make it do this. Now, there was a gentleman that said to me it might be the transfer case. So I just thought I'd call and see what your thoughts were.
Was this a four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive?
It's all-wheel drive. Okay. It's CX-90.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, you just don't have a choice. You wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or you start guessing, and we're going to guess with your money. I mean, we have this all the time. What I would do if I were you, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd have him start manually shifting it.
Yeah.
So pull it down to first, second, third. And then does it happen in a normal driving when you manually take over that transmission? And then you can also, when you said you go up a hill or you go down a hill, there's a clunk. I would feather my left foot on the brake pedal, and that'll cancel the torque converter, I'm pretty sure. And then all of a sudden we eliminate that because the converter's locking or unlocking on his way up the hill or on his way down a hill. So left foot gently on the brake pedal enough to shine the light. You manually take over the shifter, figure out what hill you need to go up or down, and then when you walk in, all of a sudden you have something that we can go by. And that would help us. Now, if I were my shop, I'd just disconnect the converter and just give it back to him and let him go try it.
Yeah.
But you're going to get a check engine light, and you're going to have some other issues.
And he said something about the transfer case. So.
Well, but the transfer case, wouldn't that be typically a whine? It wouldn't necessarily be a clunk unless it was a drive shaft problem.
Yeah, a takeoff problem or something.
Generally.
I think the transfer case, and I should have expounded, I don't think the symptoms match.
Yeah.
No.
And besides that, that sounds like a pretty expensive guess to me.
That would be an expensive guess. I just wondered if he's ever serviced it, since he's drove it a couple hundred thousand miles.
How about fluid and filters on it?
I did that last May before I took off on our summer trip.
Okay.
And it seemed to work pretty good for the first 30 days, and then I started making excuses that it was getting hot outside and it was acting up because it was hot outside. That's a bunch of bunk, probably.
Yeah, we don't ever admit we made a bad decision buying a car. You know what I mean? So
to add to what you said about putting the foot on the brake, occasionally I will punch it when it starts that, and it snaps right out of it.
Yeah. Well, and we'll be able to answer that, why that happens, once we find out what it is.
But
we wouldn't go with that as a diagnostic path.
No.
That's a circle.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go look at why this happens this way, because that's not going to help us. It's nice you've come up with that, but that's not going to help us. All righty.
I'm out Northwest Valley. Is there anybody out? I know you mentioned Fletcher's at Thunderbird.
Yeah.
They're not far away, but there's a transmission shop on Bell Avenue that seems to have some.
Well, let me tell you, I don't have any transmission. I only have one in Phoenix because it's just hard to find somebody who has 5-10 years of experience that didn't open up his transmission shop 3.5 days ago, and his only experience is he's changed the fluid and filter in 3 or 4 transmissions over the last 5 years. That's the difficult part. You've got Action Auto at I-17 in Deer Valley. You got Fletcher's. You got Kurtz at I-17 in Bell. I think you should have somebody drive it with you, and I think you should learn how to make it happen, and then we go from there. And that's what I think you should do. But I got to run. Thank you very much, Tom. Let me tell you about Action Auto while we're speaking about them. I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom, great place. Been around since 1983. Oil changes to everything else. He has a master BMW technician, and he's got a lot of ASC master certified technicians. So Tom's a good guy. He's an honest guy. He's been around a very long time. I've known him since the early 80s. So Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Steve, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes, this is a thank you call.
Okay.
Back in the summer, you mentioned to one of your callers that you could do all these different things to his truck and save him a lot of money. And I thought, well, that seems like I got an F-350 with almost 300,000 miles on it. So I talked to Bruce, my friend out at Farm Bureau. And he said, yeah, I'd do that. So I said, well, I'll go see the guys at Salem, and Alan took care of me and really took very good care of me.
Well, thank
you. And he put about almost $3,500 in it. And then I had some body work done on it and repainted, and that came to a little over $3,500. So I took your advice and decided not to spend close to $100,000 on a new F-350.
Yeah.
But I got my old truck, did what you said to do on it, and the thing runs beautifully. It looks like a new truck. And Alan did, like I say, he took really good care of me.
You you have no idea how happy I am that you said that. Alan's as ornery as his mother is, and he doesn't drink quite as much as she does, but he does make me proud. Now, thank you for this. This is
I have an excursion with the 7.3 in it, and I took it in, and Alan took care of me on that one too.
Okay. All right, well, don't mention prices, okay, please?
I thought it was a bargain.
Okay, and you're right. Sometimes, and you guys do the same,
yeah.
Sometimes they come in with the idea this is going to be thousands of dollars, and you're the hero because you fixed it for nothing,
yeah.
Or what seems to be nothing. But
Think what my sales tax would have been on a $85,000 Ford truck.
Yeah, well, that's it. Sales tax and license plates pays for a lot of this stuff. All right, Steve, I'm going to cut that out and send it to Alan and tell him that his best friend just called. Thank you for that. Alan's been in our business. He's my oldest boy. He's my only boy. He's been in our business ever since he was 10 years old, and he's glommed on to the diesel stuff, the performance stuff, the tires and wheel stuff. And frankly, he's very good at what he does.
He could tell you every nut and bolt and that truck.
He can. He's very, very good, and he instills confidence. I think you'll agree. He just instills confidence because he's unlike his father. He doesn't throw BS out there and hope it sticks to the wall. And he tells me, Dad, you have a geezy cake job just talking about cars because nobody knows if you're right or wrong. But when they bring the car in, then you tell them to come and see me. That's not really true.
Alan's very easy to talk to and is very informative and obviously knows everything about an F-350.
And we've had our fair share. I'll be honest with you guys. We've made millions of dollars working on the Ford diesels.
I love them.
Oh, the 6 liters, the 6.4s, the 6.7s. Now, the 7.3, no. The 7.3 is a monster motor, but they're old now, and we're starting to do a little work on them.
I've done a lot of work on them. They're a good motor, though.
Yeah. No, 7.3 is, but that 6.0 is a POS, and that 6.4 was a smaller POS, and the 6.7 is too early yet to determine whether that's going to be a long-term one.
You need to give them a little credit, Mark, that looks like that's going to be a good motor.
You're right. I'm going to give them about this much.
Not much,
right,
just a little, yeah.
You could fit the credit between my lips, okay? And that's the way. No, you're right. The 6.7 in the Dodge and the Ford have so far been really, really good.
Yeah, and the Ford's been out since 11, so it's got some history.
That's fine. But the 6 liter came out, and that thing, that thing went through what? The first 30 miles.
Easy mark. Easy mark. Yes, you're right. It was
60 miles. Okay, I'll give you 60 miles.
60 miles.
There's 6.0 guys out there that have spent thousands of dollars keeping that thing running
annually.
Anyway, I'm going on. Okay. All right, we talked about action. We're going to talk about auto dynamics, and he's a good guy. Chuck Nydays is the dad. He's retired, and now Derek's running the place. It's Sun City's largest and most trusted for complete automotive services. Family-owned and operated since 82, and they're proud, and they should be proud of their quality. At Auto Dynamics, their staff and mechanics are not paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill, so therefore, Derek can insure you that no one will sell you unnecessary parts or repair. It's a new idea. We're all watching to see how that turns out. So if you're looking for a great shop in Sun City, I want to recommend Automotive Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. I'm going to do another shop on the other side of town. That's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Since 1970, they've been in business. Now, Thompson and Vivian, those are the two big dogs that have been in Mesa ever since the covered wagons. And the Thompsons and the Vivian are both families of Brian and Thelma, who run Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They've been around a very long time. Like I said, the older Vivians and the older Thompsons worked on covered wagons, so it's been a long time. But Brian and his wife Thelma, they have ASC certified technicians. They do friendly reminders to let you know when your vehicle may be due for service, because nobody knows what the mileage is. So if you're in Mesa, just know this. There's only one shop in Mesa that has passed the filter that I've created for you and good shops as well. So that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street, just east of Stapley. So I got all those done. Are you looking at me?
Very good, Mark.
You didn't think I was going to do it, did you? Did you? Anyway, do we have any callers?
Lines are open.
Okay. Well, we've only got about 4 minutes before. I want to thank both of you for coming down on the Saturdays.
Well, thank you.
And I'm glad you came, folks. I called them, what, Friday or Thursday?
Thursday afternoon, afternoon.
Thursday, and asked if you guys wanted to come fly wingmen with me, and I appreciate both of you did. I'm up here as opposed to being up at the ranch in Payson, and so it's kind of lonesome here, and I don't up in Payson. I don't have Eric telling me what to do.
But you do pretty good without him, Mark.
Well, Renee's there. So can we just call him Renee?
No.
So the idea, somebody's chewing on my butt every minute of this radio show, and if it isn't Erica, then it's Renee. So I hope I did a really good job in endearing your mother-in-law to you.
Yeah.
And you didn't say anything wrong.
I
thought you handled it pretty well.
Coward.
And you know what? She knows I'm teasing. She knows I'm teasing anyway. Anyway, here's the deal. I want to cover this real quick. I just wrote a sign, and I don't know if Andy's going to like it and put it up front, but it's kind of, I think it's 5 or 6 sentences. Customer gives us the symptoms. Shows us or gives us the symptoms. Number two, there's a diagnostic process associated with that to verify what the symptoms are caused by. Because folks don't understand that diagnostic fee. That's chasing the problem down. We got the symptoms. Now, after that, we diagnose it. What's next?
You better bid it, right?
Bingo. You got to bid the repair, and you better get close.
Yeah.
Because they don't like it when you say 160 and they come in at 210.
No.
I can speak for a lot of the shops. We buffer it by 10 or 12%. Just we can come in under all the time.
Yeah.
We can
come
in under. So we're going to bid it. And then we're going to call the customer and sell it and say, this is how we're going to fix your car. Then what's the last thing we do?
Confirmation that the repair is done.
Bingo. See, the old gray-haired guy got it before you did.
It's because you looked at him. Yeah, I told you the same thing.
And you're right. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
We have to drive it or check it to make sure our repair fixed it. Now, what happens when our repair doesn't fix it? Kurt, I'm running your way.
Well, most of the time you have to go out and slap the technician that told you it's the right one.
I take a grease gun out there and fill his toolbox full of chassis lube and say, you better go in the bathroom and get yourself cleaned up. No. That happens sometimes.
No, that happens. It
and
does.
You just got to unwind the deal.
Yeah, you got to unwind the deal and start all over.
And start all over again. So that's the way. So symptom, the customer's got to give you good symptoms.
Yeah.
Then you have to verify the symptoms. Then you have to diagnose the symptoms. Then you have to bid the repair. You have to affect the repair. And then you got to verify you fixed the symptoms. So that process, we're only really charging for 3 of those. We're charging for the diagnostic. And then really the estimate is parts and repair.
Yeah.
And so the verification is included and so forth and so on. So that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
I gave it to Andy, my daughter, thinking that we could dress that up and put it downstairs just to remind our customers. Can you think of another procedure that is as simple as that?
No, that pretty well covers it.
Covers everything. And at the beginning, the symptoms doesn't cost anything. That's front counter stuff. the diagnostic is going to be a charge. Then you're going to bid it, and you're going to bid part, hard parts, labor, shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what you got to do there. So, and then after that, the verification, that's free, and then we call you and tell you it's ready.
Yeah.
You're giving them the old parts back?
If they ask for them.
Okay, we're giving everybody their old parts back. You know why?
Yeah, because you're trying to save on trash
collection. I am. I admit it. I admit it. But I don't give them oil filters and gas filters for obvious reasons. All right. Well, thank you very much for spending
Thanks,
your Saturday.
Mark.
We'll see you next week.